In a world where you need audio heroes, several nerds will come together to fight for nerdkind. It's time for nerds to step up and unite. It's time for Crisis on Infinite Podcast.
Welcome back to the nerdy news you need to know throughout the week on iHeartRadio and podcast services around the world. Because my name's Huddy.
And I'm Kevin.
And you're officially listening to this Monday episode of what, Kev?
Crisis
on
Infinite
Podcast.
We're missing a certain dog on our intro today. What happened with that?
He's decorating for Chris Christmas. This is what we like to call in our house, Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. So he's not in the room. Slash, he's terrified of our Christmas decoration. So we're trying to figure that how to solve that equation, at least right now.
Didn't he see him last year?
And he did. And all of a sudden, he's like, I don't like Christmas decorations. Teddy's like, it's November still. Even though this is the last like real day of November.
Dogs are fun.
But we got a jam-packed show for you today. Not only are we talking about our Black Friday hauls, and if we had any, or really they're just November hauls in general. Spider-Man has a potential runtime because today is Spider slash Electro slash Cyber Monday, whatever you want to call it today if you've seen that commercial. Kevin has theories on Andrew Garfield, where you can get a PS5, some Star Wars news you might impact the future of Star Wars, and the very first episode part, whatever we call this thing, of the Hawkeye Hangout. Did it work? Did you hear it? All right.
It worked.
All right.
Brilliantly.
Kevin, wait, what's that segment called?
The Hawkeye Hangout.
Yeah, it takes half a second to load up, but there's another one. There we go.
I'll let you know it's Hawkeye Hangout. Hey, Hawkeye Hangout now.
Now. But we got that. Obviously, we're breaking down the first two episodes of Hawkeye because we were waiting a little bit, let you catch up on them during the holidays. So that way now we can talk about them because you probably have watched them by now and need to know what the hell's going on with that show.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought it was coming out on Thanksgiving, not the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. It would make sense because now all the shows come out on Wednesday. I have no idea what I was thinking about.
Yeah, I think if it wasn't like the Wednesday release thing, like how they now normally are, it probably would have been Christmas or Thanksgiving. Sorry.
Yeah, definitely. I missed the Marvel Fridays, though. They were special.
Marvel Fridays, Marvel Mondays is what it was, actually, Kevin. We would watch them on Friday, but then we talk about them on Monday. Oh, this is a Monday. So this is a Marvel Monday, I guess. We lucked out on this one, at least for the first one.
Yeah, we did look up. You're right.
But we got a ton of content there. And obviously, you can follow along and see all this news at the Links Infinity on hot995.com/crisiscrew. Or, Kevin, where can they go?
@Infinite_pods on Instagram and Twitter for all your meme needs.
Your meme needs. And always, we start the podcast properly of what you're watching, what you're playing. Because Thanksgiving, we're going to do both again. Because really, what did you fit into your time in between all the family hangouts and really, let's go shopping or nah, let's set up the Christmas decorations. So Kevin, you get to go first because it's Monday. What did you fit in this weekend?
We actually did get a chance to fit in Home Sweet Home Alone.
Okay, and thoughts?
Do not waste your time on Home Sweet Home Alone. I think the worst part of the movie is that the kid isn't likable.
He isn't kind of likable? Okay.
He's kind of a jerk. It was like, you kind of deserved it. I mean, was Kevin mean to his mom in the beginning of Home Alone? He was, but he still was a likable kid. This kid, I think it's because of the accent. He has a British accent. I think it's that. I really do think it's that. But also, in this telling of the story, the criminals have a reason to try to steal.
Because isn't it like they're broke for Christmas and trying to get a present for their kid or something?
I can spoil the whole plot if you want.
Here's the thing. You see it on your Disney Plus, like, do we want to watch it? Oh, we'll save it for holidays. But then the holidays come around, like, do we really have time for a new Christmas movie that ain't worth it?
So basically, the guy, the wife to Ellie Kemper in the movie, I mean, her husband to Ellie Kemper in the movie, has some kind of special doll variant that's worth like $200,000. Uh-huh. That's the exact amount of money they need to save the house. So they have to sell the house. And then when they have an open house to sell their house, the kid that's in facto Kevin, his mom, stopped to use the bathroom because he has really have to go to the bathroom. And then suddenly when he leaves, the doll is gone. So they think that he stole it. So they're going to try to break into his house and take it back.
Interesting. Now, don't spoil me where the doll went. So that happens because you also watch 8-Bit Christmas, right?
Yes. Hmm. Watch 8-Bit Christmas. Okay. It was really good. Actually made me tear up a little bit in the end. That actually was really well done. I actually enjoyed that a lot. unlike the other movie, you actually care for the kid in this one. And then the other one, you're kind of cheering against him.
8-Bit Christmas, we kind of talked about a couple weeks ago, where it's based on the NES and the craze and all that, but it's kind of like a Christmas Story a little bit too.
Christmas Story mixed a little bit like, you know, like the Goonies or like all those 80s, early 90s kid.
Misfit. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the dad is Steve Zahn from, I don't know if you ever saw, what was the movie called? He was in with the guy from American Pie, whatever. But
well, he's in White Lotus, if that's what, most recent thing he's been in, White Lotus on HBO.
Yes. But he's great in it. There are, Neil Patrick Harris is great in it. There's not any really many other known actors. Uh-huh. Like, if you watch New Girl, you recognize the mom. The mom was on a lot of episodes of New Girl.
Okay.
As like their friend, their doctor friend that you used to go to all the time.
Uh-huh.
She plays the mom. And then I can't remember the name of the guy. There's a comedian in it that's like a really known voice actor. But other than that, there's not really any like familiar faces in it. But okay. It's a really good movie. Mm-hmm. Good holiday movie. Makes you feel good inside. Especially the ending, the way you think it's going to end and the way it ends is actually like a very pleasant surprise, honestly. It was really good.
any games you've been playing? Any like family games you played this week?
No, I was selfish this week. I've been playing Mass Effect 1 Yeah,
get out of my doing room. I'm playing games, wife.
I'm doing a lot of the side missions because I'm about to get to the Vermeier, so we know what happens there.
You know what happens there. If you haven't played the game, well, go back a couple episodes. You probably have heard what happens there.
Yeah. So I'm doing side missions on that. I have loaded Cyberpunk onto my hard drive, but I haven't launched it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I realized that my Xbox is almost full, and I had a heart attack because I thought I had a hard drive. I didn't know where it was, but I found it. So now I can kind of backload all those games back onto there. I was like, wow, my Xbox is full.
See,
First world problems.
I had an issue, and this is also a first world problem. My hard drive, I guess it must just be so old or outdated that it was slowing down my Series X Xbox. So I was like, oh, I have to unplug this. So I'm like, crap, I went from like 4 terabytes to having a terabyte. So I was like, okay, we got to manage which games we're actually going to play and which games we think we're going to play, but we never do.
Yeah, I had to, begrudgingly, because you know, I loved it. I never got back to it. Had to unload Destiny 2.
That's okay. It's time has passed on Kevin's Xbox because it's been like 4 years since it came out.
But it's like one of those games, like, I'm going to play it again eventually. I'm getting back into it. I just never found the time to get back into it, unfortunately.
That's what happens with video games. It's not like movies where you can, like, oh, I'll watch it when it's on TBS or TNT one day.
Did I watch anything else? I don't think I watched anything else, really, besides, like, you know. Oh, there is a cool thing coming on that I think it started last night, actually, on A&E. Have you heard of the show called, no, History Channel, I mean, the show that, called The Food That Made Us?
Yeah, The Toys That Made Us and The Movies That Made Us. Like those ones?
No, sorry. The Food That Built America, that's what it's called.
No, I have not.
It's basically about, like, you know, actual Colonel Sanders, actual the guys that built Pizza Hut, the guy that started McDonald's. They're doing now one called The Toys That Built America. That started last night, so I'm going to check that out later on demand.
Yes, and then let us know, is it better than the Toys That Made Us compared to whatever this one's called?
I think it might be a little bit more dramatic because they do a thing where like they have actors play like Colonel Sanders, like, oh my gosh, I have to get this recipe right. And then he did get the recipe right. And then he went down to the store. Like, it's like a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a History Channel reactor.
There you go. It's easy money. Easy money there.
Easy money. What you been watching, man?
Yeah. So didn't really get to watch a lot besides obviously Hawkeye, which we'll talk about at the end of this episode. But did get to play a lot of Jackbox video games. You've probably heard those a couple times we've mentioned on the podcast. I think I've mentioned them too. But the games where either you can have it on any console, your PC, some smart TVs even have the app as a game too. And your controllers, your phone. Played a lot with the Skellies where I was at for Thanksgiving this weekend. And it's really fun. Like, a lot of times they go on sale for PC as part of Humble Bundles where your money goes to a charity and you get like all the Jackbox games. And it's nice to pick and choose, like, oh, this is the good. There's always, like, two good ones and then three, like, ones that you don't really play a lot. But I had a blast with those. It's fun. The more people you get involved in those games, the better it is and the funnier it is. Because you're like, oh, just four people. All right, I know what you're going to say.
Did you play before or after dinner?
After dinner, yes. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, essentially.
Before or after wine?
there was some wine involved, you know. As you can tell, my voice is kind of hoarse. I don't know if that's just because of the humidity or whatever was going on where the Skellies are at. But I did not drink. I did not partake.
Did not partake. Okay. That's fine. I did not partake either.
That's okay. But well, I never Kevin, did. You never partake. So what are you going to do?
I often think about it. I'm like, this going to be the day?
This is, this I get is there, the like, day.
Nah, it's not going
to
be the day.
Do I want to make it a fireball shot? No, not a fireball.
I think whenever I do have my first drink, either it would be with you or my wife. So it's only two people.
That's a good idea. That's probably good choices.
what was the, I had to put you on the spot here because it's kind of your in-law. What was the best dish that you experienced?
That's easy. I think we all agreed on it too. Maura's brother made mac and cheese like from a recipe that no one really knew about. And it was the top of the line thing that everyone continued wanting to eat / have leftovers of. So there you go. That's how you know you did something good, if people want the leftovers of it.
Yeah, we have, since we host it, we have a bunch of leftovers in my fridge right now. Just like, are we going to eat this all week or are we just going to throw it away?
Now, here's the thing. This might sound bad, but trust your good pal Hoodie here. If you have leftover turkey, shred it up as you would shredded chicken. Make shredded turkey nachos. You'll love it. It's good. Ooh. It kind of dries it up a little bit, puts that flavor on the chips and the cheese and all that stuff. You obviously pick your cheese of choice and whatever other toppings you want on there, but turkey nachos, it's a hood fidget staple, which is my family.
Yeah, I was thinking of maybe more of a everything casserole to see what it would taste like.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, Kevin. You had casseroles at the yin yang the past week. Now just switch it up to nachos. It's fun. It's different. It's wild.
And I mean, tomorrow is Taco Tuesday, so.
There you go. There you go. But before we get into the news, Kevin, I actually want to shout out someone and sort of induct them in the Crisis Crew. They really don't want that. They really want you, Kevin, because Andrea K. Castaneda, and I know I made that sound weird, at Andy_Drogon_ on Twitter, DM'd us, hey, just wondering if it'd be possible for Kevin to be my friend on Pokemon Go. I know he occasionally plays sometimes. I need two new buddies to complete a task. No biggie, please and thank you. And Andy Drogon, I'm just going to share your stuff pretty much right now. So whoever is playing Pokemon Go, I know Kevin plays it more than I do. I just log in and I'm like, oh, the thing right there. Kevin plays it when he's bored. So
yeah, I am out of Pokeballs.
Well, just go to a Pokestop. There's got to be one Pokestop near you. You live, Leia. I was about to say where you lived. That could have been bad.
I'm out of Pokeballs, and I'm also, my bag storage is full, and so is my Poke storage. So I'm literally screwed unless I want to spend money on this game. I haven't decided I want to do it yet.
Well, maybe if you're friends with Andy Drogon on Pokemon Go, Andi Drogon, like the dragon from Game of Thrones, her trainer code is for all you boys and girls, so she can, like, because here's the thing with those Pokemon Go quests. I was like, oh, do 2, do 5, do 10. And then you get to the 10th step, like, I'm never going to beat this step. And then I have this random quest for forever. So hopefully this will help you out. Her trainer code is 15696821-6843. Figure out how to input that. I don't know how you input that in Pokemon Go. You figure it out. Kevin has the DM in his thing, and now you can help her out and hopefully catch it. A Celebi or something, whatever is related to that quest.
I'm actually going to load up right now and just see if there's any cool Pokemon around me that I can't catch because my Pokemon storage is full. And I'm that collector that doesn't like to give away his Pokemon because it's not like old school. You just put it in the Poke Center and go back and get it. Mm-hmm. Now, if you give them back to Professor Professor or whoever, they're gone. That's it.
They're candy. You eat them. That is a sucky thing,
Pokemon
too.
Much.
This, I know we're ranting about a game that's been out for like 5 years now. Is if you do any Pokemon battles or raids and can't get any potions or anything, you're screwed. You just have dead Pokemon left and right and can't do anything.
But can we talk about how for that brief, 3 week span in 2016?
When it first came out, we were all about it and we sort of infected the world.
The whole world was together playing Pokemon Go. We've never gotten back to that level of humanity since exactly. That was the peak.
What a time. But Andy Drogon, you're officially in the hashtag Crisis Crew. If we haven't inducted you, and hopefully this gives you at least two friends to get on to that next quest.
But does she get a Crisis Crew ban?
That's the question. You know what? You're going to get one. So DM me, DM at @infinite_pods, and we'll send you some Crisis Crew bans and something around the studio. It may or may not be Pokemon related. Probably not, because Nintendo don't like us.
We will send you a pen that's been in Eric's mouth.
Well, maybe not. That's kind of weird. Okay. But anyway, Kevin, while Kevin's looking up his Pokemon Go, it's time for the news.
It's time for the news. And it's just a Spearow over here. It's not really anything cool.
Not worth it. But Kevin, starting off with our Black Friday hauls. You know, we had our annual Thanksgiving Black Friday special. It came out on Thursday. And obviously the Monday is always the fun facts of seeing, did we actually buy anything from the things we were telling you to buy? And I'm proud to say my copy of Cyberpunk 2077 came in. And as of this podcast recording, it's still on sale for $9 at GameStop. So get you one.
Hop on that. And if you want a cheap gift for your loved ones, I bought it quick.
It is a stocking stuffer for someone that I know, and I cannot wait to put it in their stocking.
I wish we could have got those cool, that cool jacket, though. That kind of
you can buy, you can buy it on the Cyberpunk store, but I'm not paying full price for things for CD Projekt Red right now because of crunch. But, you know, when a game's this cheap, I'll buy it.
There's a big, like, thank you inside the jacket. Have you opened up the disc yet?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's like a lot of stuff in there. Like there's like stickers, a map and then like a world guide,
map, compendium. There's a little thank you for buying the game, but this came out on launch. This is probably a launch copy that they didn't know the ish their game was about to go through after it released.
Little did they know.
But yeah, so I obviously got that in the mail. Bought a ton of stuff for other people. For myself, nothing really. I was thinking about getting an Echo Kindle or whatever those are called, Echo tablets or whatever on Amazon because like $45, but I held back. I was like, don't need it. I do not need it.
Yeah, I mean, a tablet always sounds nice to get in theory. Then you're like, do I really need a tablet?
Like, I'm only going to use it when I travel, but I'm like, when am I going to travel? So better to save that money when I could. Did you get anything, Kev?
Got nothing for me or the wife got nothing for her either, but we did go to Lowe's and we found this. Sorry, I'm getting to my little adulting husbandly father thing here. Sorry. But there was like a box that had two small lighted trees, a hanging wreath that you put over your door, and like a holly you can put over like the borders of the door for like $50. So now we have porch decorations for Christmas. So that was kind of cool. $50.
There you go. Lowe's, the family. Is that the do-it-yourself center? Is that the other one?
No, I think, I don't know.
Oh, that's Taylor Home Improvement Store or whatever that one's called.
Yeah, the Home Depot is one that has a dun and dun and dun.
Yes, and then it's the guy from the Hulk movie that no one remembers.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. His claim to fame. Cool, so that was our Black Friday hauls. Obviously, DM us your Black Friday hauls at @infinite_pods. We'll link you, hopefully, in the running for the next hashtag Crisis Crew Bands. Did you take our advice on anything we said? Specifically, if you bought Cyberpunk 2077, I'm just going to give you a pat on the back, and I'm not going to send you another copy of Cyberpunk 2077, but we'll send you something fun.
Also, text us your Cyber Monday hauls, too, because we are in the midst of Cyber Monday.
Yes, but it's like the same deals as that were on Black Friday / the rest of November, so it's not anything new, really.
Yeah, I wonder if that's always been the deal, we're just only noticing it now.
No, I think it's more like Amazon used to be just a Monday thing, and Black Friday was just like in stores. But now everyone has a thing, like Walmart has the dumb Walmart Prime or Plus or whatever it's called. And it's like, nah, I don't really need that. Like, I just get it the rest of the month.
I get with Amazon Prime, you get a whole lot more with it. Subscription, you get, of course, expedited shipping, but you get a whole network of stuff to watch and music and books. What do you get besides you get to buy a PS5 early for the Best Buy Walmart subscription?
Well, you get a chance at buying a PS5 earlier with the Walmart Plus subscription.
Yeah, it's so weird. This is such a weird thing.
But sticking with Black Friday hauls and really just hauls for the holidays, you might want to head elsewhere if you're looking for a PS5, Kevin, because really for low key for the past 2 weeks, they haven't told anybody till Black Friday. You can get a PlayStation 5 at a Verizon store near you or on Verizon.com.
This is interesting. One wonders if this is going to be something they maybe like put into, like, you know, sometimes if you go to like AT&T or Verizon or any of these other providers, sign up for a new phone bundle, they'll give you a tablet.
Mm.
I wonder if it's going to be like that. If you sign up for a brand new package on TV, you get a PS5 20% off.
This one, not so much. This is, hey, you're sure going to pay the $500 plus, you know, tax and everything on it for it. But hey, you can buy it at our stores now.
I'm going to look and see if any of my local stores have one right now.
Probably not. Probably I have not, a feeling. But... yeah. This is the thing that like, it didn't really get mentioned, but then it's like, oh, hey, people are reporting they're getting at the Verizon store. But here's the thing. So you do have to be a Verizon customer to be able to buy these things. You don't have to be just the phone customer, though. So if you have Verizon Fios, internet, or phone, or whatever, on your iPhone or whatever, you're eligible to get a PlayStation 5 at their store. So it's kind of like the Walmart Plus, the Amazon Prime. To get the deal, you have to have the things. So that's why we obviously mentioned it right here. But if you are looking for one, maybe check, especially if you know, like, no one goes to the Verizon store that's in the mall near your house. Man, check it. They probably got one in the bag, maybe, that they didn't tell anyone about.
It's probably like finding the golden ticket, too. Like, you're just in there because your phone broke. And they're like, you have a what?
Oh, what's that? I saw a white box back there that had a 5 on it. Is that what I think it is?
It's like, run, run, Andrew, run, run. Home.
Yeah, I gotta go to this console.
Get your lazy grandpa out to bed.
Well, no, my grandpa, thank goodness he's not in the bed. Thank goodness that man's active.
Yeah, your grandpa, no, don't get me started on Charlie's grandpa. That's some trash.
Here's the thing. I've already have making deals with more siblings. I'm like, all right, we're not going to be able to afford a house. So what bed we share and who's getting what end of the bed?
You guys could afford a house if you just move out of that
area. I'm in. I know.
Nova area.
Oh, I know. We're getting that age now where you're either complaining about your real job or you're complaining about where you live.
And then pretty soon, I'll give you about 6 months, all you talk about is, man, traffic is crazy. People drive crazy.
I talk about that now. What are you talking about? We live in the DMV.
Welcome to Uber manhood.
Yeah. But to go switch it up from shopping really to the news, you need to know because it is Spider Monday as of this podcast recording, or Electro Monday, whatever you want to call it. AKA, now is when you can buy Spider-Man tickets for Spider-Man No Way Home. So if you haven't figured that out yet, you might want to look at your theater because a lot of hubbub of like they might sell out today, which is scary because you're like, damn, we haven't been this hyped for a movie since like 2019, really, or 2018.
And there was actually an article yesterday I read that said people are slowly going back to the movie. So like the revenue is starting to rise a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, too, I wonder if this will be the same thing with Endgame where Fandango, the wrestler, Fandango crashes. But it might be easier to just go to the actual theater and just buy it in person.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Obviously get those. If you think about seeing the movie, obviously get your ticket now. I mean, it's like the same price. Depending on your mileage may vary on like, oh, you buy online, got to pay a little bit more and everything like that. But because it's Spider Monday, we actually have two things of news to talk about. I'll do my story. Then Kevin will do his story that we really looked at through the Thanksgiving holidays. Spider-Man's runtime is estimated to be around right now, looking like the final runtime, 2 hours and 28 minutes.
Good.
Good. And this was like well deserved.
95 minutes. I'm like, what?
which I think if when I was reading the article, it makes it the third longest MCU movie behind Endgame, Eternals, and then this will be the third one.
Then after that, probably Infinity War, right?
Let me see. You got only longer movies are Endgame at 3 hours, 2 minutes. Eternals at 2 hours, 37. Oh, Infinity War, a minute ahead of it with 2 hours, 29 minutes. So the fourth longest movie, yeah.
This is good. This means they're going to take their time in the movie and not just kind of like hit the ground running and never stop. And then suddenly it's been an hour and a half. Like, what did I just watch?
Yeah. And like the rumors is, and obviously, granted, take what you will with everything when the world we live of Mephistos. But we'll get to that later in the Hawkeye section of the podcast. But that like the villains and all that stuff we see in the trailer is like the first 45 minutes of the movie. And then the rest is like, we haven't seen, which would lead to something Kevin's about to talk about. But I did want to talk about how they released just a trailer promoting Spider Monday today with Jamie Foxx formally saying he's Electro. We've seen the trailers. He's Electro, but him and Tom Holland, that trailer within the first 30 minutes had over 2 million views on just them saying today is Cyber Monday.
People are so hyped for this movie.
We're so hungry for Spider content.
So it's almost refreshing to see because I feel like we haven't been this excited for a piece of content in forever because we've all been locked in our houses for a year.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like riding that line between great, everybody's excited, and almost dangerous that if people don't get what they want, it's going to be, you know, anarchy.
Yeah.
But have you gotten your tickets yet?
No, obviously we're still waiting to see what happens. / fingers crossed, Jingle Ball doesn't interfere with anything like that. But if it does, well, I'll find some theater. I think during the winter holiday break I'm taking from work, that I'll find a theater that's probably not the best theater, probably definitely not IMAX. But you know what? They're playing it at least.
Yeah, I think I'm still going to buy a ticket because I want to see it when I'm in Florida, and I got to take the wife to see it. So I'll get her to see Eternals. You know what? She hasn't seen, what you call it yet either. Sit down and watch Shang-Chi yet. So
well, Eternals will probably come out to Disney Plus around New Year. Could come out New Year's if they wanted to. Oh, no, probably at mid-January, actually.
I was thinking at the earliest, late January, early February. That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the calendar now, you see there's only like 2 full weeks between you and the new movie. It's like, ooh, this is... getting real.
Here's the thing. When Spider-Man comes out, that's my holiday break. So I go on a Monday. Everyone else is working on the 20th. I'm like, let's go, baby. First showing. It's cheapest.
And you usually around the time of the year, we're excited about the Star Wars thing, the new thing we're about to get. But now is that's not happening because
we'll get to Spider-Man. You know, well, then we'll get to that.
Yeah, but then we'll get to Star Wars. Exactly.
Yeah. But Kevin, what was your piece of news you found pretty interesting?
All right. I'm going to try to do this the ghetto way and play this through my phone on my microphone. Let me know if you can hear it, Hoodie. I'll just talk about it.
Okay.
But this is Andrew Garfield speaking about him being in Spider-Man.
I'm Jimmy Fallon. Just at this point, people just I'm done. Like, you know, we'll all find out when the movie comes out, and we'll either be very disappointed, or we'll be very happy, or like someone will say, "I told you so," and another person will say, "But I told you so." We'll all find out. I'm sorry in advance.
I'm sorry in advance.
I think that's more because you texted me that, thinking like, "What do you think this means?" I think it definitely means like he's sorry for you're gonna be disappointed. No matter what happens, like it's not. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this. Whatever happens, this movie is definitely not good. I mean, we've talked about the WandaVision shows, everything we've had this year. It's not going to live up to what fan and TikTok theories think it is, but it's still going to be good.
It's still going to be amazing to see any number of Spider-Men together on a screen, no matter if it's the ones we know about. By the way, did you see about that BarkBox leak?
I did not. Is there a BarkBox leak? Teddy, get on it.
Yeah, that was a big leak that kind of got hushed under the weekend. Don't say it out loud when you find it. But yeah, it was a BarkBox leak.
Because I've seen the advertisement on my Instagram, but I never like paid attention to it.
Yeah, you'll see it. Once you Google it, you'll probably see it like in the first three hits. Uh-huh. Like, oh, dang it. They did it again. but just the fact that he said sorry in advance, meaning like you said, it could be like you said, people be mad no matter what, whether it's one way or the other way.
Man, that's you gotta look in the corner of that thing to find that.
But like again, I just want for our Crisis Crew listeners that listen to us every week, please, please temper your excitement. Don't let how do you say it, John Campia? Don't let excitement be your expectation or something like that. You know, don't expect you're gonna see Luke Skywalker just mow down AT-ATs like everybody thought in Last Jedi. And you're like, no, that's not what this movie is about.
Could have happened.
You know what I mean?
It could have happened. I think it could have happened. Maybe Ryan Johnson. But yeah, so it's interesting. Obviously, we got a couple weeks till then. But the hype is real. And it's only going to intensify even more. But speaking of Star Wars, Kevin, you did set up a good transition that I kind of ruined a little bit. Speaking of Star Wars, there's some news that may upset you. Depending on how you view the sequel trilogy, or may excite you, depending on how you view it. But Kathleen Kennedy, obviously we know pretty much the head of Lucasfilm in this era, is pretty much kind of confirmed that, that in the Empire magazine magazine they just had for Book of Boba Fett, that the characters from the sequel trilogies, I'm butchering the little quote to make more sense, we're not forgetting those characters. They'll live on, and those are conversations that are currently going on with the creative team as well as to where those characters go next, which is pretty much where everyone is thinking, what's happening now with Star Wars? Because we're really like, what's happening with Star Wars? Are we doing more? Are we doing less? Which coincides with this story, that Star Wars Rangers of the New Republic, that Star Wars spinoff that was supposed to star Cara Dune, Gina Carano, blah.
Fumble the bag 101.
Fumbled the bag has been essentially killed, canceled. Unfortunately, Bill Burr and Paul Sun Hyung Lee, your show that you three characters are being set up for, canceled because, well, Gina Carano had to be a douche, to put it in a polite way. Pretty much Kathleen Kennedy, same article for IGN, kind of skirted around saying, we've never written any scripts or anything for that show. Some of that will figure into future episodes of The Mandalorian, whatever that may be, which kind of makes sense. That's how shows work.
Yeah.
Like you have an idea, and then it'd be better if we folded in the episodes. Kind of talked about that with how the Ahsoka series is really the Star Wars Rebels successor show we've been waiting on from Dave Filoni, and now he's got a live-action sandcastle to do whatever he wants to, so he can do it.
Yeah, on both these topics, Rangers of the Republic thing. Yeah. It's upsetting, but also understanding because if they had just recast Cara Dune, it'd just open up that can of worms again. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to deal with all that Twitter fallout and what about free speech? Free speech, blah, 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 blah. Star Wars. It's not that serious. Please relax. You know?
And and obviously there's a bunch of actors that have problems here, there, and everywhere. But that it was kind of like, oh, we haven't heard anything about this since she got let go of the Mandalorian. Now we don't. It's dead. Like, oh, Ahsoka's casting a lot. Oh, Andor, Obi-Wan, they're done filming, you know?
Also, I feel like if they had went ahead and did this, since they carried, what's her name again? Lady that played Cara Dune? Gina Carano didn't act like donkey. She wasn't that great of an actress to begin with, so it could have been like the Batwoman thing where the show was kind of cool, but I'm not buying her as the lead. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It could have been that kind of thing. The other thing is with these trilogy characters that may return, this excites me because say what you want about all those movies, I think Rey's one of the best things that happened to Star Wars in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I think her story is still very intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
And then even we kind of know now that Finn is force sensitive. So even to kind of revisit that, even though I don't think Boyega's coming anywhere near Lucasfilm anytime soon.
Again, yeah. And that's the sucky thing. And obviously like that's just the flip side of being an actor in Hollywood, having opinions and stuff like that, both good and bad there, sort of.
Yeah.
Like that's the character out of all sequel trilogies really want to get more due in spec because they're like, oh, Finn kind of got backlogged like in the sequel trilogies. Like he was supposed to be the main dude. And then, nah, your story, like second one, okay, you're chasing a DJ, don't join the character. And then third one, not really doing that much.
Even like it was so weird. Like I always say, I think Last Jedi is a good Star Wars movie, but it's not a good saga movie.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a romance between him and what was the character's name?
Rose.
Rose. And then in the third one, it was like, oh yeah, we didn't kiss in the last one. That didn't happen. Like,
he's into Lando's daughter now.
But even saying that, like I don't think John Boyega will go back to Star Wars just because he had strong opinions about how the characters, not just his character, but the characters in general were treated in Rise of Skywalker.
Mm.
It's always animated, man. It's always animated. Yeah. And we've seen with Obi-Wan and Anakin, you don't need the actors to make you feel like you need the actors to be those characters.
And this is a fun thing. Matt Lanter, who voices Anakin in primarily the Clone Wars for Star Wars, he's actually in Pitch Perfect 3. So that's a little fun fact for you. He is one of the army dudes in Pitch Perfect 3. So if you somehow, because it was on FX, because they have the movies the other day. I love that. That's one of the taglines of the show. Every reoccurring thing. They got the movies.
We should get paid like a quarter every time we say that.
I know. We promote so many damn things on this podcast that we don't get paid for. That's just a fun fact. He's on that. But you're right. Like, I mean, even look now that Hayden Christensen's coming back to being Anakin after 15 years of not and like hating the character and really the fans sort of flip-flopping on him. But, you know, who knows? Maybe 5-10 years down the line, we finally get, okay, here's Finn's story or Finn's getting redeemed. Who would get redeemed the most out of the OG trilogies? What character do you think got redeemed? I think Leia, I guess, would have been like, not redeemed the most, but like, oh, they got the most shine in the new iteration of Star Wars.
Yeah, I agree. I think because the first, you definitely kind of explore Leia's character a lot more as the movies went by.
You know who didn't get shine at all? And it showed R2-D2, damn it. Put some spec on R2-D2.
It was BB-8's show. People say, got away, old man.
And here's Dio. We don't want another one. You already gave us one.
BB just looking at him like this. I'm watching you.
Dio.
Is that a rock star name?
But Kevin, now we've talked about Star Wars, let's head to a cinematic universe everyone knows and loves. It's time to talk about the 31st project in the MCU, technically the 30th live-action project in the MCU. Kevin, it is officially time for the Hawkeye Hangout! I did it.
Get to name the bird. We give him a name.
Hank. Hank the Hawkeye. Hank?
There you go, Hank.
Hank the Hawkeye Hangout Bird.
Hank the Hawkeye Hawk. So first off, what were your overall thoughts before we get into the nitty-gritty? What are your overall thoughts of the show?
I really definitely thought it was an interesting start. I would say it's probably the weakest start out of all the other shows we've had, but I'm super into it now. It definitely was like, okay, I think it's because of the Christmas vibe, which this show has. Will have for the show with the entire series. Just like, okay, cool. It's also, you gotta get in that mind of Thanksgiving to Christmas. That's always a weird thing for everybody. But overall, like, I liked where it was going. And I am like, all right, by the end of this, I'm gonna like really like Hayley Steinfeld as Kate Bishop, future Hawkeye, whatever she's going to be.
Yeah, I agree. I think the opening of it going back to the Battle of New York was a cool touch. Going through it, I kind of like to see how Hawkeye is literally a broken man now, not mm-hmm. just because he's been, you know, in S.H.I.E.L.D. forever, but also lost his best friend with his kids. But you can still tell he's carrying that loss of Natasha with him. He has a hearing aid now. So he's, like I said, literally broken
which
person.
I love. And we're going to say this right now. Spoilers abound. So just spoilers right now. Because I think what Kevin and I have realized that we like really talking free-forming about the episodes and not like beat by beat by beat by beat. I think you guys like it better too. But I love the scene where they're like, oh, why do you have a hearing aid? And then it's flashback to him getting banged up left and right on everything.
But that was a cool touch. And then even when they showed, like, I guess the Steve Rogers' musical part where it was like focusing on Black Widow, you kind of saw him like, oh, I don't like this. I need to get up and go.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I did like the introduction to Kate Bishop. I don't know too much about her besides what I've seen in the Avengers game. But I can say between the Avengers game and this episode, this show, they kind of seem like the same character.
Yeah, pretty much. And obviously, this show is going to be based. This was a lot of contention I saw, too. It's based on the Matt Fraction comic book storyline of Hawkeye. And literally, like, the opening credit scene, at least for the first one, was pretty much animation art from that. Even, like, the promotional posters and pretty much these storylines, all based on that comic book line. A lot of people, weird contention of Matt Fraction really only getting a credit for being a consulting director, even though he was not the creator of Hawkeye, but this storyline. So, interesting tidbit to watch with creators getting their due for specific things Marvel, the MCU uses and sort of remixes too.
I'll probably say the only thing I didn't like about the two episodes is I thought the second one ended in a weird jarring way.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Echo should have at least met them before the episode ended, but just heard like pumping her fist to a bass rhythm.
They open the door. Here's the character. Okay, close the door. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of weird. But we'll get into it. I thought the LARPing episode was great because that's literally us. It was literally us, Crisis Crew, in the show. That's definitely how we act.
So the two episodes that both came out, it's going to be this is the only week two episodes came out. Every other week is going to be one episode. Total of six episodes, so it'll get you two Christmas, week of Christmas. Two episodes were called Never Meet Your Heroes. Second one was called Hide and Seek. We have a bunch of Easter eggs too, so we'll obviously mention those when we can. I will say this, though. I think it is the week, because I only heard it, because I think the second episode didn't have it because it was back-to-back, weakest intro theme song of the shows so far.
I think also that was because when you see the Battle of New York, you expect to hear the Avengers theme, and it was kind of a tease. Like, it was like the same key and the same rhythm, and then it was like, no, it's a Hawkeye theme. Like, no.
Yeah, well, because when it went into the opening credits, and like you and I, like, off the bat, picked up the WandaVision and the Loki theme. You picked up the Falcon Winter Soldier theme. I'm like, it's long. One, the opening credits were super long. I think that might have been because there was two episodes. But then I was like, there's no like, where's the Loki part of the WandaVision or here, like Falcon Winter Soldier. like you and I pick up totally the beats. I know you and I are both a little more musically inclined on that, but like to have a theme or identity with the show, I think helps with that. So obviously we'll find that out, I think, with the third episode. But I did love,
I think also helped Loki with that too, was Loki had that theme blaring through the trailer too. The trailer for the show, so you already knew what we were here for, and you hear the da da, yes, Loki time travel.
But it was fun, like Kevin said, started the episode really going back to the Battle of New York. I really liked it. Really appreciate when like we get these different perspectives on things, like we had with the snap in WandaVision. This with Kate Bishop's perspective, her family. You knew her dad was gonna die as soon as he went downstairs. Everyone else was upstairs, but they were in New York during the Chitauri invading. Really dope. And this definitely, that first 5 minutes made Hawkeye Clinton Barton like seem like a badass hero, which is that I think the show's really trying like, hey, he's badass. If you watch the Marvel Legends thing too, like those pre-cap things, you're like, oh man, this thing's making Hawkeye look like a BA right now.
I mean, think about it. Hawkeye kind of took out the Avengers in the first movie. Even though he was brainwashed, but he basically did.
You're not wrong, Kevin. You're not wrong.
I did enjoy that, though. There is a small, I won't say small, there's a good number of people that think that her mom killed her dad before all that happened anyway.
Yes, there's an interesting, we'll get to the predictions on that one. but yeah, so we had that. That's sort of the intro. Then we cut to them being at the funeral. Obviously, she's like, I'm going to protect you, mom. I'm going to give me a bow and arrow. That leads to the opening credits. Then we get actually Kate Bishop doing a dare with her friends at college. Stain Tower, this is a really fun MCU fact for you. You see briefly the clock tower is called Stain Tower, named after Obadiah Stane, Kevin, who was mad at Tony for doing what?
I guess getting rid of all the weapons.
No, for building it with a box and a curve. Rawr, Tony!
Tony!
yeah, Obadiah Stane, obviously played by Jeff Bridges in the first, really our first villain in the MCU. Turns out Tony didn't let everyone know that he turned all evil and that they kind of wiped over his death, saying they never, his legacy remained intact. Wasn't really known that he turned evil. So, of course, he has a tower named after him because, as far as he knew, he was a cool guy.
Did he, I know this is a weird question. Did he die or he's just in jail somewhere?
He died. I mean, he was he in died, that okay. explosion. I mean, as far as we know, I mean, the MCU could be like, you didn't see him die really.
Then again,
he was in the explosion.
Didn't get electrocuted and then fell like four stories in that suit. Yeah, he's probably dead.
He did. But then we cut. Obviously, things go wrong. She gets in trouble. She gets caught. The very typical like setup of a Christmas thing. Like, oh, like if the Santa Claus 2 is what it reminded me of. Like, oh, Charlie got in trouble. So he's got to go home and all that good stuff. But then we cut.
Charlie was annoying in that movie, though.
Yeah, he was very annoying. But he didn't get his due at all in the third Santa Claus movie. They like skipped over him for the ginger girl. Or like, she's not even your child. Why are we caring about her?
He's less annoying. She's less annoying than my child. That's why she's here.
but then we cut to Rogers the Musical. Kevin, this is a little debate I want to have with you. This is a parody of Hamilton.
You know what? I didn't think about that. You're probably right.
Because, like, I got the vibe, more didn't. But I'm like, the poster and imaging of this looked a lot like, oh, it been Hamilton, but it said Rogers. I liked it. Apparently, there is rumors that they might do a musical special or something that they just, maybe they had cut footage from this and they can just repurpose it as like a 10-minute thing or whatever.
I bet you $20 that thing's already shot and it's waiting to launch trigger on it the week after Hawkeye is done.
I'm like, all right, here's the extras. Here's the musical. Enjoy it.
Exactly. By the way, here you go. We actually did it.
but we did get all of Clint's kids returning, same actors, including one of the Russo's brothers' daughter being his daughter. Really the main kid talking to him throughout the episodes.
That older kid looks familiar. Has he been in something else?
He was a kid that was in a bunch of stuff, but he's a guy that as he got older really didn't look cute anymore. So in this, he's just been relegated to being the older brother.
Oh, to be a childhood actor. Not good. but not cute anymore. Get out of Hollywood. Yeah.
But obviously, Hawkeye leaves the show halfway through, like Kevin said. He does go to the bathroom. He sees Thanos was right, sort of markered on one of the bathroom walls. Kind of cool, kind of connection to the Flag Smashers a little bit, that not everyone was happy with the unsnapping, I guess you could say.
Yeah, and also, these people had a chance to sit down with Star-Lord, child of Star-Lord, that kind of convinced you to know that he wasn't right.
But it is very fun, like, both of these episodes just seeing, like, all these randos being like, oh, you're Hawkeye. Like, it's kind of like, oh, okay, cool, you're not the most famous dude, but you know what? It's worth something, so sign something. Because he has a fan, like, hey, can you sign or take a picture with me while he's going to the urinal? And then Clint goes to the wash his hands, and the same guy's still there just staring at him like, is now a good time instead?
Remind me of the scene in Endgame when Ant-Man was talking to Hulk. And he was like, no, I'm Ant-Man. Who?
I don't care. Kevin, keep going.
Now, I was going to say, like, I did kind of enjoy that, how we're still getting immersed in this post re-snap world. Mm-hmm. But that was pretty cool.
Yeah, because this takes place roughly like 2 years, I think they said, post-snap.
Yeah. Uh-huh. This actually, if you look at your Disney Plus Marvel Universe in timeline order, like, I guess, bar, when you go to the Marvel section, this is the last canonically thing that happened so far.
Okay. We're looking at you. You're the next thing. Where are you going? Well, you can't go on the Disney bar, unfortunately.
Well, they're coming soon, right? Next year?
Netflix. Not on Disney Plus. So
I thought we did a story where they said they picked them up. I looked up while you talked.
It was Netflix is getting the Sony movies starting in 2022, actually. Gotcha. So No Way Home wouldn't count, but like Morbius is like the first one, unfortunately.
Morbius. That's where we get all this play too, probably on Netflix.
Yeah. But then we cut to Kate. She's going to a family ball. Kate's mom owns Bishop Security. Technically, it's like a family thing. They don't really focus on that a lot. You just know Kate has access to a lot of security things she shouldn't have, which, you know, like this is, I forgot the name, but Ant-Man's crew, like they got to be like, you got to have this security company interact with their security company at some point, somewhere down the line.
Minus T.I.
Minus T.I. because he's not popping up anymore for some reason. But Kate Bishop, her family, they're at a charity ball, which we'll get to in a second about where the location of the charity ball was at, because it's leading to a lot of people theorizing what the Mephisto of this show could be in the future of New York-based MCU stuff. Find out there's a hidden underground auction, sort of auctioning off black market stuff, of stuff rescued from the Avengers compound. I really like that. It was really like the Ronin suit and the sword were there's another thing, but those are the two things we got advertised, and a Triceratops head, but no one cared about that.
That was Jurassic World tie-in.
Exactly, no one cared. But the whole thing was no one knows who Ronin is, which was fun. I like that. Like the people who know Ronin, who knew who Ronin is Clint's wife and obviously the Avengers.
The one thing that confused me, and maybe it's over my head from the first time, I thought that scene in Endgame where Black Widow confronts him as Ronin took place somewhere in Asia. Was that just in Chinatown in New York?
I think it wasn't somewhere, unfortunately, somewhere in Asia. I don't remember where specifically, but it was sort of, he was traveling the globe doing vigilante stuff. Vigilante.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Vigilante-ing, because he was taking out drug cartels left and right.
Left and right. I think that was just maybe the head of a criminal organization. But we do get the Ronin sword, Ronin suit auctioned off. And that is also what's going to be auctioned is this watch from the Avengers compound, which is the MacGuffin of the show of what that watch actually is.
I think the Avengers compound is still like intact, right? You can still go there.
Well, no. Remember, it got blown up in Endgame.
It did get blown up. So yeah. At this point, it's probably if it was rebuilt.
Whatever got salvaged, whatever got rescued. I mean, if something got built up again, who knows? Yeah.
Now that makes a lot more sense, because I was thinking that was going to be the MacGuffin to get them into Avengers compound for some reason at some point in the rest of the show. Uh-huh. But if it's blown up, it could be either rebuilt somewhere else or just not built entirely.
West Coast, really, potentially.
No Avengers right now.
Mm-hmm. The West Coast. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. West Coast Avengers.
But essentially, the Tracksuit Mafia, correct? Not mob, right? Tracksuit Mafia?
Yes.
They interrupt the auction. They're looking for the watch. Kate goes into the Ronin costume to protect her future stepfather-in-law and everyone else at the auction. While she does that, she gets the watch, and Lucky the Pizza Dog pops up, which is the one-eyed dog. Hasn't been officially named, but it will be. Love the dog already. We've mentioned, I think, a month ago, you can actually follow the dog. Has an Instagram. Really dope. I think it's like Jolt of Genius or something like that. Tracksuit Mafia. There we go. They run after Kate. She goes in, finds out someone's been murdered by a sword that she thinks is her stepfather's.
Murder, you say?
which is another MacGuffin in the show. Turns out Kate eventually gets followed by the Tracksuit Mafia. And save the day is actual Hawkeye. He asks, who are you? And that's the end of episode one. Then episode two, Kev, what happens?
Episode two, we kind of pick up right from that scene. And she's escorted, I believe, back to her apartment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, her apartment. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, her apartment, which is like a dope apartment, actually, but, you know, TV and all that.
It was weird. I will say this. It was weird to have this episode have a recap. I'm like, wait a second. We don't need a recap. Everyone has just watched the first episode.
I know the algorithm or the macro is probably already in there to just launch a recap, but come on. Everybody watches it back to back. You're absolutely right. but they go back to the apartment and they kind of start to debriefing of who are you? Why do you have my suit? Blah, 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 blah. I don't think he tells her that he was the Ronin, but he implores her, like, you can't have that suit because it's bad news. But of course, again, the MacGuffin, the trailer park, Tracksuit Mafia kind of tracks him down and starts whipping Molotov cocktails at the building, which is weird because I think this is what got in there and got her. But, you know, it's TV. It's not going to be
make sense. It fun.
We saw a really cool scene from the trailer where they throw one Molotov cocktail in and Hawkeye catches it and wings it back at him.
And like one of the dudes catches on fire, which is really like, oh no, he's on fire. But they're funny villains. Funny so far, funny villains.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to be like the Hawkeye's I guess, original trilogy stormtroopers, like just laughably bad. They go to another safe house, which is her aunt's apartment, I believe.
Yes, which her aunt, I want to say this for representation for Mora, name is spelled Mora Brandon. I'm just saying, I can't wait until we find out what her aunt's first name is, and Mora, or is it Moira or Mora? I'm like, Mora, you have a character named after you, finally.
I think Mora was a character in Hook.
Yes, I don't know why, but I came exactly. It was the mom, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I love Moira. That was a weird movie.
But anyway, back to the show. Sorry.
Back to Hawkeye. We'll do the Hawkeye podcast another day.
Exactly.
he goes back out to try to figure out what they want. Then he kind of stashes the Ronin costume in like a train station. Do you?
Yeah. Eventually, once he gets it, yes.
Yeah. And then we also make this scene where he kind of calls his wife. This thing I actually liked a lot, where he calls his wife and his wife knows exactly what he's doing and why he has to do it. And there's no like, I have to hide this from my wife because she ain't know my secret life. Like, no, I know what you do and I'm down with it.
Yeah. Before that, we had the LARPing scene where he actually gets the suit from a LARPing firefighter who stole from the crime scene, which that's like a big no-no as a firefighter first responder. You don't do that.
Especially in New York where like the firefighters are like,
unionized and all mythical that good stuff.
People.
Exactly. Yeah. But Hawkeye signs up to do LARPing, likes it. And we're sort of getting what Kate Bishop says in the episode, like you need to have your heart more on your sleeve, be more humanized as a hero, which is why people don't really like follow you as much as that they do the other Avengers. So we're obviously going to see that more throughout this show as well.
Yeah. And it was funny during the LARPing scene where you can tell at the beginning, he kind of hated it a lot. And he's like, you know what? This is kind of fun. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like the last scene in the show is him and his kids LARPing in New York or something.
Yeah. And then Kev, he talks to his wife and then now he can continue.
Yeah. He talks to his wife. They say they're going to do a catch and release where he's going to pretty much surrender himself to the tracksuit mafia to figure out what they want and try to stop him from going after Kate. Then of course, our young hero, Kate Bishop, the queen of doing too much in this episode, uses her security company, which I think is actually a pretty cool thing they wrote into it, that she's head of a security company. So yeah, she has access to do
access,
things that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's a fun thing. Her username is Bishop112012, which is November 2012, which is the first month she got introduced into the Hawkeye storyline.
Really? She's that new. Wow.
Yeah.
So like, yeah. So her and Miles Morales came out like pretty like 5 years after each other. Mm-hmm. That's crazy that all these characters we love now came out so close to each other in the comic books. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So then after that, she tracks him. And then while Hawkeye is doing his thing where he's, oh my gosh, I'm caught. Woe is me. He gets loose. He tries to talk to Trash Troop Mafia. And then she comes crashing through the ceiling like, yeah, I did that wrong.
He does.
They tie them both up. And they're both trying to kind of, I will say I do enjoy the on-screen chemistry between Clint Barton.
Yeah, yeah.
And Kate Bishop, it's definitely, it's not father daughter, but it's more like mentor mentee in a funny way.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a la Obi-Wan and Anakin in the Clone Wars cartoon, not the movie. No, not the movie, the cartoon. Then after they tie him up again, they said the boss wants to talk to you, and that's when we get the big reveal of Echo, who in the comic books is a. I believe she's deaf, right?
Yes, and the actress Alako Cox, hopefully I said that right, is actually deaf in real life too. So they got it. They got good right casting for that role.
I know it's kind of like the second Marvel franchise in a row we had a deaf character, which is pretty cool. But to get introduced to her, she's like in a room full of bass, and that's why I said the second episode ends with her just like kind of fist pumping into the camera, and that was it. That was kind of weird, but I think like you said, out of all the shows so far. Probably not the strongest start, but
we're getting
still
there.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Also, just we forgot to mention this because it's kind of like it's a third tertiary storyline of her stepdad.
Oh, yeah.
They have this cool fencing one off in the comics. Jack Duquesne is known as the Swordsman. I don't know if they're going to turn that into villain or something remix in the MCU. But Kate is getting this theory that her future stepdad could be involved with the murders and everything. She's kind of running away from because he has this candy that she finds at the murder scene, whole big thing. We'll find that more. I think more the interesting for us is the Echo introduction because we know she's going to be one of the next MCU characters to get a spinoff show. somewhere down the line. So you would assume there's some villain to hero. May not start here, but eventually will happen in her spinoff show.
And also in the comic books, if I'm incorrect, I think I'm correct because I've been reading a lot. She's also Kingpin's daughter,
mm-hmm.
which is very interesting because Vincent D'Onofrio tweeted some things out a couple of weeks ago where he said he's still open to work with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm like, interesting.
This is a cool thing. Alako Cox, she is the definitely a big deal. She's the first Native American actress in the MCU to play a character. We also said she is Death. And I thought this was really dope. And I don't, the promo image they had for this week's episode that's coming up, it was interesting, but she actually is an amputee. She is missing her right lower leg. And I was like, if they incorporate that, that is so dope for representation to like, we have, like, we're getting this now. Like, I know we've been waiting a while for it, but to have it now, like, and eventually now that they're going to do the whole Echo storyline for eventually when she might become a hero. How dope is that?
Also, I think going back to her stepfather or step-fiancé, because they're not married yet, they're kind of just engaged. I feel like...
For Kate Bishop's.
For Kate Bishop, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like when he was introduced, he looked way too villainy to be a villain. He's going to make a change, I think, at some point.
I think it's just the red herring. I think it is just like, he looks like a villain, must be a villain.
He literally has a twirling mustache. Like,
yeah, yeah. But here's the thing, Kevin. You kind of said this earlier. Kate's mom might not be as good as we think she is. And I think Kate could be a twist we could see.
Mm-hmm. She's very shady. And that's definitely a thing that we'll have to deal with soon, I think. Because kind of coincidentally, after she had the argument with that older guy, which was Duquesne's uncle, I believe, then suddenly he's dead.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
And stabbed in the back.
Yes, with a sword that he had taken from the crime scene. But Kevin, did you mention Echo's stepfather in the comics? Adopted stepfather?
Yeah, I believe it's Kingpin, right?
Yes. So that is the two things we're going to talk about now, as long as the predictions of the show. So here's the thing. Echo is in the comics the adopted daughter of Wilson Fisk, who we've seen in Daredevil. And here's the thing. Fisk is now the Mephisto of the Hawkeye, New York, at least, Avengers storylines from here on out, because where this charity ball is happening is also the same building they filmed as Fisk's living area in Daredevil on Netflix.
Whenever I hear Daredevil on Netflix, I just get so upset because that show could have been great if they just kept at it. It's very frustrating.
Good seasons in there. But the whole thing is people are thinking that this might be the reintroduction of Fisk coming back in the MCU and that it will be played, what was his name? Vincent D'Onofrio could be coming back as Fisk.
The guy got his hand bitten off in Jurassic World. It's been a very Jurassic World circuit episode.
Back full circle. Life finds a way, Kevin.
Fourth. Yeah. I think it's a good idea. I think you've played a very cool Kingpin on Daredevil. Of course, it couldn't be probably as dark as he was on that show. But he's a great actor, and it'd be interesting to see the Kingpin in this MCU world. And I believe technically he's a Daredevil villain, not a Spider-Man villain. So they actually can pull him into the MCU, which is interesting.
Which obviously leads to the theory, you know, Daredevil's popping or Charlie Cox popping up as Matthew Murdock in No Way Home. This happening at the same time. Take this as your Mephisto theory, though. You know, take it as a grain of salt. But with the Echo show also happening, a lot of cards falling in the same place right now that would make sense as him popping up as a villain again.
Yeah, that's calling into place. For also, the Young Avengers cards keep falling into place. Mm-hmm. We now have another one on TV now with Kate Bishop. She is in the Young Avengers. She's the new Hawkeye. I thought it was funny too. The one spoiler that kind of got on my nerves a little bit was that the image for the show was them in costume. I'm like, I didn't want to see it yet.
But Kevin, that's not it either, because there's also one running thing that's going to be going on for this entire series. Is when is Yelena popping up? And I have a theory of when she's going to pop up. And this might be really sad, but my theory makes sense.
Enlighten me.
All right. So my theory is we're already doing the typical Christmas storylines. He has to be home in time for Christmas. He's got 6 days, obviously 6 episodes. We know each episode is going to be a day closer to that timeline. Normally, basing it really on a Home Alone or something, he'll get home just in time for Christmas to celebrate with his family. I think what's going to happen is he's going to get... Last episode, that's when Yelena pops up, is he's going to be almost home, sees home in sight, and it's going to be typical Home Alone. Oh, there's Kevin's mom popping up over the hill. Kevin, oh, I love you. But in this scenario, it's not going to be Clint's kids and family that awaits him, but it's going to be Elena. She's going to stop him from going home, whether interrogating him, killing, I think more interrogating him. And that's where we see Clint is prevented from having his happy Merry Christmas. And it sort of subverts the expectations of, oh, this is all going to wrap in a bow on everything.
That's actually a really good theory. I think it all depends, though, on the end credit scene to Black Widow. Is that before Hawkeye or during Hawkeye or after Hawkeye? Because, well, it's definitely not after Hawkeye. We know Hawkeye takes place 2 years after the snap, but I don't know how long
that end credit scene is.
That one scene is after the snap.
It's true. Do you know what you're talking? You're doing like a fourth wall cultural thing of, is this really, are you doing this, or are they using this as good marketing to make us watch the Hawkeye show?
Good point, too. I want to think, since we saw her twice in 2 weeks, I can't remember her name, Valentina, I think her name
Valentina,
was.
Valentina, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that scene may have happened a little bit before or after the end of Falcon Winter Soldier, which means the events of Hawkeye hasn't even been put in motion yet.
Okay.
So if she met her a little earlier, hopefully she had done her research and realized, no, Hawkeye didn't kill Black Widow, my sister. It was just circumstances. She sacrificed herself. But you never know. You could say, no, that was 2 years ago. That was really last week. And then, you know, now here we are before Christmas. And here she is.
Here we are. Any other predictions, Kev, before we peace on out of here?
I think we might see another character in this movie, maybe minor or major from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, maybe like a roadie, not in the costume, but just like, you know, a roadie just in maybe in his military.
I could see maybe a Maria Hill. I think that would make more sense. Know,
uh-huh. Maria Hill or anybody from S.H.I.E.L.D., maybe even Talos, maybe he just shows up and he goes back down to a Skrull form after they leave him alone. Something like that. I think we'll get another character.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely won't be like a Scarlet Witch or something. Cause you got to think like, all right, what characters is he close to now after Endgame? And it's cause I watched the Marvel Legends things. Him and Scarlet Witch had a scene of something, but I think like a Maria Hill, someone S.H.I.E.L.D. based would make most sense if they are going to pop up. But hey, we're on a Yelena countdown and a Fisk countdown now on this show.
I wouldn't even see, maybe we'll see, what was her name in, Peggy Carter's niece. What was her name in?
Agent Carter.
Agent. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll see her pop up too. Cause that could be the link between Valentina, Yelena, and, all the Dark Avengers stuff is her.
Interesting. I could see that. Yeah. That is very valid. But we'll have to wait until Wednesday for another episode of Hawkeye. We don't know the title of it yet, obviously, because it's not out yet. But our images, we're going to get a little bit more echo in it. So that'll be good. So it's not just going to be, oh, she's in that room listening to the stereos the entire time.
And I'm pretty sure we'll get an image eventually, because starting with Loki, when they start doing like the Instagram drop of the next episode. Yeah. So we'll probably get it pretty soon.
Yes, can't wait. But Kevin, that was the very first, what was it?
Hawkeye Hangout.
Yeah, I love it. It works. but anyway, thanks for hanging out with us. Let us know, are you liking Hawkeye so far? Are you waiting for all more episodes to come out? Are you waiting for Book of Boba Fett instead so you can just binge watch all of them? Let us know at @infinite_pods. Like we said, you can see all the Easter eggs and everything at hot99.5.com/crisiscrew. Before we go, Kevin, anything you want to say to the people?
Actually, could you just mention about the theme? Book of Boba Fett, we're watching you for your theme, buddy, because you got big shoes to fill.
Mm-hmm. You have a new trailer out, which gives pretty much just nothing really, but hey, we're getting closer to you.
It was 30 seconds. I didn't even watch it with the sound on. I was like, okay.
Actually, as of this podcast recording, we're a month away from it coming out to our home. So there you go.
They just reuse Mandalorian theme, but this is our Mandalorian theme. Anybody involved in this kind of suit, this is their theme now. They shouldn't even try.
But anyway, have a great week. Get through literally today and tomorrow, that it's December already. Then you really got like 20-ish days really for most people. And then it's the holidays again. You get another break. But don't worry, we'll be here for you to keep you entertained, sane through this holiday season, baby.
Yeah, I know some of you have trying families. So yeah, we'll do our best.
But as always, my name's Hoodie.
And I'm Kevin.
And you've officially listened to this Monday episode of What, Kev?
Crisis
on
Infinite
Podcast.
It's a Monday Hawkeye Hangout, and I hope you enjoyed the show.